Please, speak as you might to a young child or a golden retriever.
It's an unfair game.
They're schemers. Schemers trying to control their little worlds.
Rich get richer, that's the law of the land.
It's just money.
Blasphemy! This is madness!
I drink your milkshake!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Milkshakes Markets Madness. We are doing our best to keep it consistent, always rolling out fresh content. I had a bit of travel interruptions, and I'm back now in Puerto Rico, and Brent has been on a little adventure of his own in South America. Brent, how is the journey going?
Oh, it's great. Buenos dias is what I'm supposed to say while I'm here. But it's been fantastic. You know, we came down to Argentina, and you know, it's Buenos Aires is an amazing city. Right now, we're actually up in at Iguazu Falls, which is on the border of Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil. It's the largest waterfall system in the world, and honestly, it's just incredible. We're like right in the middle of the jungle, staying like the falls are literally like half a mile that way out my window here, and it's my son put it the best. It's really hard to describe this place, but my son put it the best. He said, this is like something right out of Indiana Jones. It's just really cool. And, you know, the hotel tells us to keep our windows locked because if we don't, the monkeys know how to open the windows and will come into your room and do damage. So anyway, it's an adventure. We're having a great time.
Yeah, you got monkeys in your room. We got monkeys running the world and running global finance. You're in a Indiana Jones setting, maybe the temple of gloom, boom, and doom. It certainly felt that way for the U.S. dollar the last week or so. The dollar's been under pressure at the end of the week, but I had cut you off at the end of last episode because at that point, the BRICS currency was starting to really pick up some steam as a narrative, and that's kind of continued through this past week as well.
Yeah, so back in, I think it was probably either March or April, you know, there was a ton of, news, memes, tweets, magazines all talking about this new proposed BRICS currency was going to come out. And, and it was kind of all over the place. And then it kind of died down for a month or so. But now in the last couple of weeks, it's kind of really picked up again, probably because the BRICS annual meeting is coming up in August. And there's been a lot of speculation that at this meeting, they are going to announce this new currency, and potentially it's going to be backed by gold or commodities or whatever it is. And I think that, that along with the fact that Yellen went to China a week ago, and the day she went to China, there's been these charts that have been going around that showing that the day she landed in China, since then the dollar's just been falling. And I think it's a little bit of everything right now. We're heading up to this meeting with the BRICS. Sentiment low, it's summer, inflationary print came in a little light, little lighter last week than people were expecting. We've been talking about this all year. We were going to get into the summer and we were going to start to see these inflation drops because of the year over year number comps, but it fell even a little bit more than people expected. And so now I think people thought, maybe the July hike will be the last hike. And so the dollar is, now it's at 99.5 or something like that. So it's really come down a lot. And I think probably, when we get to this meeting, this BRICS meeting next month, I think there probably will be some headlines. I think they probably will say something to the effect that, we are planning to one day have a currency that we can, trade amongst ourselves, and this will allow us to. But it will all be speculation. And the point I really want to make to people is I had somebody the other day said to me, because I keep saying, don't put all your eggs in this basket. Don't bet everything on this. You're betting on pure speculation. And somebody said that to me. So, you're speculating that everything's going to stay the same. Well, things do tend to stay the same until something changes them. And I guess that is my whole point with this, is the people who think that the dollar is just going to go by the wayside because these BRICS countries are going to get together and they're going to issue a currency that the whole world is just automatically going to accept. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that it can't happen at some point, but you're already seeing, you know, some of the countries are going back on some of the bilateral trade agreements that they've talked about. You know, Russia and India have now just recently said they're not going to, you know, be paying rupees for oil or energy anymore because Russia just doesn't need the rupees. Last week, Russia and Iran, the Iranian, you know, ambassador had to call the Russian ambassador in due to some, you know, military agreement that they weren't very happy about anymore. And so, you know, the idea that these five or six countries are going to get together, and many of them already are kind of rivals, and they're just all of a sudden going to introduce this thing because some politician said it, and it's going to unseat decades of U.S. dollar institutional use, that's a really big bet to make. And I'm not saying this because I want to be right. I'm saying this because I don't want people to lose all their money. And so, you know, but I think that, you know, over the next month, as we get closer to that, you know, meeting, you know, this verbiage and these memes are going to increase even more. But I don't expect them to announce an actual currency. I don't expect them to be ready to implement anything anytime soon. And if I'm wrong on those first two things and they do try to implement it, I don't expect it to go as smoothly as many other people seem to think it will.
Excellent. You know, I just posted a clip from episode 24, which was from back in May. And we had talked about the topic around that clip was the euro dollar markets. And one of the things you've emphasized over and over and over is that the dollar weakening, people want to combine the two, right? The talk of BRICS and all these other types of competition or competitors to the US dollar, and then say, oh, look, the dollar's weakening. This is the end of the dollar. When you've said so many times before that the weakening of the dollar just keeps the music going and it keeps the game playing out.
Yeah, that's a, you know, that's the first thing I thought of when you know, this chart has been going around about the dollar falling since Yellen landed in China. And, you know, many people are saying, see, this is it. Now this really is the time. This time the dollar really is, you know, headed to 70 and it's going to get, you know, rejected by the rest of the world. And my first thought was, if that chart is actually the result of Yellen landing in China and them deciding to weaken the dollar, doesn't that show that the U.S. is in total control of the dollar? In other words, if the U.S. wants the dollar to get weaker, and they were able to do it so easily after so easily making it stronger a year ago, doesn't that show that they're in total control rather than the fact that they've lost control? Not only that, but to your point, and what we've talked about several times is if you zoom out and you just look at the dollar, if you take out last year when it went to 114 and if you just look from 2010 until 2022, it's been range bound between 90 and 100, back and forth and back and forth. That's, you know, if you're running the global reserve currency and it's just kind of range bound between 90 and 100 in a 10% band over a 10-year period, that's pretty darn good, right? That shows that things are pretty good. You don't really have to worry about anything. And so, you know, I'm not sitting here and saying that the U.S. doesn't have problems. We all know that the world has problems. I'm just saying the U.S. doesn't have problems in a vacuum, and it's going to take a lot more than a proposed currency to unseat it. And, you know, the idea that just because politicians outside the United States say something, that all businesses around the world are automatically going to adopt what these politicians say, I think it's like, you know, just accepting everything that Donald Trump says or that Joe Biden says. I mean, how many of you would just go do exactly what Donald Trump said? Or how many of you would go change the currency you use just because Joe Biden said it? Well, I think, you know, a lot of the business people in these other countries, India, China, Russia, you know, South Africa, Brazil, I don't think that they all do exactly everything that their president tells them to do, just like we don't do everything our president tells us to do. Now, I'm not saying governments aren't powerful. They certainly are. And they can certainly, you know, put controls in place or regulations in place, and they can make it very hard. But the idea that businesses around the world are just going to jump for joy and automatically accept a new currency, which they've never dealt with before, even though their liabilities are denominated in another currency, I think that's taken it a step too far. And I think you need to take a reasoned approach with this.
Excellent response. And in that clip, you'll see I put it two places. We have a start here section at the top of the YouTube channel. So it's included there, and it's also included in our clip section. And it says when the money stops. And it also highlights, this is going back in May, where you talk, this was around the time that there was conversation about swap lines reemerging. And in that clip, you did say, hey, this issuance of swap lines adds more dollar liquidity back into the system, and this could put pressure on the dollar. But then back to your point here, where you're looking things over a decade time frame, you don't want to get lost in these little bits of chop. And certainly throughout all of this year, even in equity markets, we've been talking about violently sideways and how you can get, you know, shredded to bits trying to trade that. It's no different than getting caught up in these currency narratives. Now, I had posted a chart that you had reshared, and it was a 3-year chart, and it was similar sideways band, and you know, big reveal, that chart was gold. So as we're sitting here talking about the dollar and we're talking about the BRICS, you know, the other fan club, so to speak, that came out of the woodworks this week was the gold bugs. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, gold certainly had a good week. It's kind of back up to, I don't know, 1960, 1970 level. It's kind of getting ready to test the 2000 level again. Silver had a good week as well. I think there's this big expectation now that the Fed is done. Maybe they will hike one last time in July, but they're probably not going to hike again in the fall, especially if data continues to trend as it has. And it's very possible that by the beginning of next year, then we're back to an easing cycle. But let's think about this for a second. Now, and this is not an argument against gold. Again, I'm going to say this again. I think everybody should own gold. I literally just bought gold for clients last month when it was around $1,900. So, you know, I have no problem with people buying or owning gold. But as of right now, let's pretend we are at the end of a Fed hiking cycle and we're getting ready to no more hikes and maybe even start an easing cycle. Well, what typically happens during an easing cycle? Typically, equities come under pressure initially on the first couple of cuts, but if they were to go back aggressively do QE, what's happened all the last times they've done QE? Every time they've done QE the last couple of times, you know, equities and the markets have done pretty well, and gold perhaps, you know, takes off initially, but then it's been sideways for 10 years. Gold has been sideways, had a big run up in 2011-12, had a big pullback, had a big run up again, and now it's bumped its head against, you know, 2000 a couple times. I think everybody should own gold, but I don't think everybody should just pile into gold expecting it to go to $3,000 in the next 6 months. I would be a buyer of dips, but I would not be chasing it higher right now. Now, people are going to say, well, Brent, you've been saying that for a long time. But the reality is that that's been the right answer for a long time, right? Gold was $2,000 10 years ago. It got to be $2,000 two or three years ago. It got to be $2,000 6 months ago. And, you know, it's still there. So, you know, everybody who has called for the breakout in gold for the last 5 or 6 years, they've been wrong as well. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't own gold. It's not to say that it's not a great asset. It's just saying, be prudent. Don't run and put everything in it now, because you think dollar's on death's door and, you know, this is finally it. And you know, I should say something right here, because I think some people who listen to us every week probably think, well, you know, they keep saying the same thing over and over. But the reason I keep saying the same thing over and over is for a couple of reasons. One, it remains, I think, the right thing. Number two, in case anybody new is tuning in who hasn't tuned in before. But then also, I interact with so many people who I know have heard me say this before, and they just continue to argue or continue to debate me. And that's fine. I actually enjoy the debates. I actually like the back and forth. But when people continually, you know, argue against something, despite all the facts going against them, you know, that's the part that I just don't understand. And I've had so many people in the last couple of weeks say, well, your theory's wrong. It's going to be wrong. You know, you're just going to have to accept it. And I'm thinking, okay, the dollar's still at 99, which is about where it was 3 years ago. And it's 10% higher than when I first started talking about the milkshake there. So why would I say I'm wrong right now when the dollar just hit a high, you know, 9 months ago? And in my opinion, nothing has changed. This is par for the course. This is how this is going to play out. The dollar's going to have a run. It's going to pull back. It's going to have a run. It's going to pull back. And if it just keeps doing this for the next 10 years, well, then you know what? this isn't the end game. Markets are just going to continue doing what they're doing. But if and when we get into this crisis, this end game scenario that everybody is so enamored with, then I think that is when we're going to find out whether my theory is right or it's wrong. And as of right now, we're just not there yet.
And we've also said on this show, too, that we've dissected possible situations of where the Fed goes from here. And if the Fed doesn't make any big moves, they just hold their stance. You've got, you know, look at across the curve, you're pretty much above 4% everywhere. Why buy more gold? We understand where gold is as an insurance position. It makes a ton of sense to have in the portfolio. But if you're not going to get yield on it, and technically with the holding and security costs, et cetera, it's a negative yield. Why pile on, which would basically be a speculation, given all these narratives that we're talking about, when you can get yield elsewhere? I think that's a strong headwind for gold here as well. So I appreciate your perspective on that. And you know, to kind of circle back a little bit to the whole idea around the dethroning the dollar and this BRICS currency is going to do it. I know you tweet often. It's kind of your own new personal meme of, you know, brought to you by the R in BRICS, or brought to you by the C in BRICS. And, you know, the idea that I think we're very sympathetic and generally in agreement with most people about where the U.S. dollar, or at least the U.S. government and its role and managing the U.S. Or the global reserve currency and managing the U.S. dollar, where they've done a lot of things wrong, and it's made people upset about that regime, and you know they feel burdened by it or cheated by it, and they want to see it all crash and burn. But the joke is, what do you think is going to replace it? You know, who's going to be the world superpower or the trusted monetary authority for the entire world? Russia, China? Is that who you're going to trust? And it kind of made, you talked about Iran and some of the different things that are going on in the Middle East. It made me think of Libya for a moment, and what happened when we removed Gaddafi as the central authority in that place. You have all these gangs running amok, and it kind of makes me think about this idea of a reserve currency that has these counterparties involved that all hate each other and are basically, you know, thugs and cartels. It's funny to me. I get where people push back and think that the dollar is that at the end of its times, but do you really think this is going to be what replaces it? So I thought I'd put some color on that, because that's always kind of shocked me when people are banging the table about the BRICS. It's like, do you realize who you're actually talking about as far as governance?
Yeah, and I think a little bit too, is there's we've talked about this before, that there's a moral component to this. Many people think that from a moral perspective, the United States deserves what's coming. And many people who believe this are Americans themselves, and they think that we have caused a lot of trouble in the world. And you know what? I'm very sympathetic to that point of view. But I also get the sense that a lot of these people kind of want to see the dollar fall because they think that they have it all figured out how to survive the dollar collapsing. And some of these people, you know, maybe they're, you know, precious metals aficionados or advocates. Perhaps they're Bitcoin advocates. Perhaps they just want to see a more free system and a competition of currencies. But I've never met anybody who wants to see the dollar fall who didn't think that they were going to profit from it. And my point is gold will help you survive some kind of a dollar apocalypse. Bitcoin may help you survive some kind of a dollar apocalypse. Having a farm where you can grow your own food and kind of a bug out place may help you survive a dollar apocalypse. But I don't care how much gold you have, you are not going to be flying around in a private jet living the high life if the dollar collapses, because everything is going to collapse with it in that scenario. Now, you might be better off than your neighbor down the street, and I would argue you would. And that's why I recommend owning gold. It's why I recommend having some kind of a bug out place. It's why I recommend having these, you know, solutions for these different scenarios. But the idea that gold and silver and Bitcoin and these alternative you know, lifestyle aficionados are going to be partying while all the dollar holders are crying in their, you know, burned down houses. I have a hard time believing it's actually going to play out that way. And so I, you know, again, I think it's very important to be prepared, but also be a little bit careful what you wish for. And the other thing is, even if you are going to be okay, is your mom going to be okay? Is your aunt going to be okay? Is your nephew going to be okay? Is your friend who you went to high school and his kids going to be okay? I mean, do you really want to see the firemen lose their pension? Do you really want to see a city with no police? Are you a defund the police person? Now, I'm not putting any moral judgments on any of this. I'm just saying you really got to think through this if you really want to see this happen. Because perhaps you will do it very, very well. But not everybody, just because you own gold, is going to be king of the mountain. Just because you own Bitcoin, it doesn't mean you're going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. So just keep this all in perspective and really kind of understand what you are wanting to see happen, because it will not be pretty.
I appreciate that perspective. Before we let you go and let you go and enjoy the scenery that you're in, have you had any taxi cab interaction yet? Have you been able to get a cab ride with US dollars?
Here's the interesting thing, and I didn't realize this before coming here, but you know, this, I gotta say, I love Twitter, and Twitter is such an amazing tool. You know, about a month ago, I just tweeted out I was coming down to Argentina, and I wanted just a better idea of how the exchange rate worked, because I know there's an official rate, but then I knew there was it's called dollar blue. There's like a black market rate. And I knew the black market rate was much more advantageous to, you know, foreigners than the official rate. And so I just tweeted, and I had like so many people like DM me and email me, and it's so great. I mean, everybody was just so nice. And so what I figured out was through their help, one guy, and I even had coffee with him, he goes by Bowtied Mara. He tweets about Argentina all the time. He's a fantastic resource. I had coffee with him. Fascinating discussion. He's a European guy, but he's been living here for 20 years, married to an Argentinian woman, and they have Argentinian kids. And, you know, he has just a fantastic perspective on things. And he was giving me kind of the lowdown on how everything actually works. But essentially, there's like three different rates. There's the official rate. So if you walked into a bank and you gave them, you know, US dollars, you would get converted at by 270, 275. But if you go into, you know, a private place on the street, Western Union or some of these money changers, you'll get anywhere from 480 for $20 bills. You'll get up to 490, 495 if you give them $100 bills. But if you use a Western-based credit card, so if you use a credit card that's issued basically outside of Argentina, so, you know, North American credit card, you get another rate, which is about between 450 and 470. And so, you know, you kind of have to make the decision. Do you want to walk around with an incredible amount of cash so you can exchange at 490, which gives you a little bit better rate? Or would you rather just use your credit card, pay 460 or 470 and not have to carry around all that cash? Because a hundred thousand pesos or $100 gets you like, you know, the amount of pesos is like, 48 or 49,000 pesos. So, I mean, it's a huge stack. Like if you were going to carry that around, you know, it's a huge wad in your pocket. And if anybody sees you counting it, you know, they're struggling down here. So if they see you walking around with that kind of cash, you kind of become a target. But so going back to your original question, I used a credit card at the airport. So I got about 460. So I actually did not pay dollars. But he would have been happy to take dollars. I asked him, of course, he would be happy to take dollars, but then I wouldn't exchange. So I've been using pesos everywhere. But people are more than happy to accept dollars.
Well, if we ever end up doing a Milkshakes Markets Madness rap video, we'll have to come down to Argentina, because then, you know, for a couple hundred bucks, we'll have enough stacks of paper and cash that we can look real hardcore and rap star gangster.
Well, like here's an example. So this is 1,000 pesos. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. You know, they just keep, like, John, this is like $50 or $60. This isn't a lot of money. It looks like a lot of money, but it's not. But that just shows you what the folly of politicians can lead to when it comes to money.
Yep. So pick your regime carefully. A lot of good wisdom in this episode. Brant, I appreciate your time. We will see you from another South American destination, I think, on the next episode before you return here to Puerto Rico. So safe travels, and we'll keep tabs on you as you go. For everybody else, we appreciate you joining us. You can learn more at milkshakespod.com. You can find us on YouTube at Milkshakes Pod. As I mentioned earlier, we have different playlists set up there. If you're new to the Dollar Milkshake Theory, there's a Start Here playlist where you can go down that rabbit hole and learn more about what Brant has been talking about. And if you want to find either of us on Twitter, Brant is at Santiago AU Fund. I'm at John Katsmita. And again, we appreciate you joining us. And Brant, we appreciate you as well taking time from your trip to say hello to everybody.
Great week, everyone.
This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.